This is Damir Barlas, site editor of SearchSAP.com. Whether you're an SAP permanent hire, consultant, or simply someone trying to break into the SAP market, you want to know which SAP skills are most in demand and how to add to your own skill set, given your limited time and resources. In this podcast with David Foote of Foote Partners, which conducts an extensive IT salary survey with tons of SAP-related information, we obtain a list of the SAP skills whose salaries are growing at the fastest pace. Along with podcast guest John Reed of johnerp.com, we also discuss the notion of synergistic skill sets. In other words, if you already know something like MDM, what skill would make the most sense for you to add to that? So without further ado, let's turn it over to David Foote. David, you've just completed, I believe, some important research on skills, pay, and so forth. And I'd like you to start by just summarizing what you've seen over the course of 2008, because you've done work earlier in the year as well. So can you kind of give us a snapshot of what's been going on this year?
Yeah, I mean, this is a piece of research that isn't just specific to SAP, but the whole community of IT skills. We do salaries too, but we're not going to talk about salaries today. We're going to talk about skills because that's really where the best way to focus on trends would be. This piece of research is a survey that started in 1999, and it exists because if you look at many of the people listening to this webcast, they don't have ABAP in their job title. They don't have BASIS in their job title. They don't even have SAP in their job title, which means that they are lumped in with a lot of other people who are not involved in SAP, and they're paid according to title. That's how salaries and compensation is mostly run. Companies discovered a big problem in this, and one of the easy work, I mean, the workaround is, well, either you change their titles and survey them to that title, or the workaround is, well, let's find out something about them that makes them different than everybody else that has that job title. And let's pay them some kind of bump in pay, which would be called a skills premium pay for that. And whether you want to put that in base pay or as a bonus or something, it doesn't matter. But you want to get somebody to a market level for total cash compensation. What's interesting is over the last 9 years, we've seen a lot of activity up and down, which has been somewhat responding to the economy. But a lot of it has responded to vendor behavior, technology evolution, the fact that companies and the role of IT impacting the business has changed radically. There's been a lot of interest in non-certified versus certified skills, so we track those differently. But today, this many years later, we're up to 31 of these, 331 skills, about half certified, half non-certified. And of the non-certified, 40 of the ones that we're tracking are related to SAP. So that makes this survey a good topic of conversation for today. The basis of this is surveying about 2,000 companies, and we're up to just over 80,000 IT professionals. The skills part of this is we've been able to isolate about half of these people receiving some kind of skills pay. Often, whether they know it or not, they are. And we are able to capture about half of that. So we've got about 23,000 people data points captured when I talk about skills pay. Now, we update every 3 months, and we usually issue a press release and some sort of information for people out there. And we've done podcasts before for all of you. What's interesting in the last, and then we look at the last maybe 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and I'm going to take you through this today and how it's relevant to SAP professionals. And the whole point of this podcast, before I begin, is any of you out there who are starting your careers in SAP or thinking about it, or those of you who have been in it for quite a long time and are looking for some guidance, some intelligence on where to take your career, what you ought to be doing over the next, half a year, 2 years, this podcast is for you, because we'll be getting into some very specific areas where there's a lot of demand for SAP skills and where we think from, at least from the point of view of job security as well as compensation, are pretty much best bets. The market value for enterprise application skills, which is the area that you would find SAP, has risen dramatically despite a very slow economy in 2008, and that's a headline right there. But it's been led by SAP skills. And if you look at our list of those skills that have grown in value over the last 6 months by 7% or more, now 7% is a lot of growth for 6 months, because if you look at salaries for all IT workers in this country and Canada, they're rising by an average of 2 to 3% right now. So 7% growth in the pay for an individual skill. 11 of the 18 skills on that list that have grown by 7% or more in the last 6 months are SAP. And if you look at skills that have grown in value by 20% over the last 6 months, which is an enormous number, 7 out of 8 of the skills on that list are SAP. If you look at that over the last 12 months, and you look at skills over a 12-month period that have risen 9% or more in value, a third of those, 11 out of 33, are SAP skills. And if you look at those over the last year that have grown by 15% in value or more, 9 of 20, or about 45%, almost half of that list is SAP. So it's really been, our survey by storm, and we're going to be talking about that today. But the point is that employers are feeling, you know, more pain than ever in this whole area of the searching for skilled and experienced SAP talent. And we expect this trend to continue for the next year and a half, conservatively, and we think longer. And it's a tough spot to be in right now, particularly for companies that are deploying NetWeaver. And we'll explain to you which of those skills in a second are pushing the envelope here. But to be honest, even if you're in an environment that is a ERP 4.6 or even a 6.0, you're also feeling pressure. And part of it has been two things with SAP. One has been the repositioning of their product line from a transaction-based systems, you know, to an applications network, you know, that is meant to leverage all of this data for strategic purposes, i.e., the reason if you're a TechEd, there was so much talk about business process management. That's a code word for organizational change, by the way, and you can measure that on things like the capability maturity model, which is a model that has been in place for years, which basically measures a company's ability to process change, organizational change in their environment. Most companies are in about the five levels, five being optimized, processes, and where you're really at the top of the scale. Most American companies are in the one or two level, whereas a lot of companies they've been outsourcing, offshoring to for years in places like India have been at the 4 and 5 levels for years. So you're talking about a place where business process has become important and has been a deterrent in companies who are trying to put in a lot of enterprise software applications and enterprise systems, and finding that really the thing that has been a problem for them, if you get right down to it, has been change in the environment, doing things different, and that is a labor issue. That is a skill issue and an experience issue, and that's why this podcast has been so important. Now, SAP has been transitioning their product line, but they've also been going down market, and so many of their customers, almost two-thirds of the installed base they have right now, are small to medium-sized companies. So those of you who are listening who are in these companies, you find that these are companies that generally don't look for people right out of school, but they're looking for people with, you know, 3 to 5 or 4 to 6 years of experience, and they're doing a lot of customization of their ERP software. So it's not just off the shelf. They need experienced people, and that's caused a lot of, supply and demand gap problems, even for larger companies that SAP has been successful in taking a lot of its products down market. And it's caused a lot of the pressure. And I'm bringing this up because that's why these lists of growth, the highest growth in skills in the 6 and 12-month time frame, that's why SAP is so dominant on these lists. Huge installed base, different corporate strategy, reposition of the product line. All of this means that there's going to be some pain in this area for quite a few months to come. Now, there are other skill areas that we'll talk about today that have also benefited from these supply and demand gaps. One is in methodology, process, and management skills, and another is in networking and systems. There are a number in that area, but we're going to sort of confine our conversation today to to SAP. And let's talk about really what has been hot. If you look at this list of growth over the last 6 months, let me just read you in order of highest to lowest growth of that list of 11 out of 18. You've got SAP production planning PP. You've got the web SAP web AS application server. You've got a number of sort of a catch-all category we have here for SAP ERP. That includes a lot, but we put that in because a lot of companies are very broad in how they apply skills pay. You've got business objects next. You've got QM, quality management. Next in line, you have SAP strategic enterprise management, SAP PLM, the product lifecycle management. Next, you have SAP HCM, you know, the old SAP HR, and SAP MDM is now showing up on that list. And we'll talk about that a little later, too, where MDM is in this world. It's not strictly an SAP play, but it's an IT play right now. And, of course, with a huge installed base that SAP has, that's going to show up in some increased skills premium and demand for MDM skills in SAP. We're seeing this already in terms of people requesting salary information now for master data managers and SAP master data analysts, some of these jobs. Next in line, and as far as SAP on this list of hot skills in demand over the last 6 months, is NetWeaver Application Server and NetWeaver BI. If you look at the 12-month list, and there's growth over the last 12 months, you would add at the top of this list that number one, at a change of 57% in value over the last 12 years, is materials management. Next in line, at slightly under that at 50%, is production planning. And that's because I think you'll see that in the SAP world, a lot of the juice that you're going to get as a professional in this area is not having one, but a number of symbiotic, if you will, from a market perspective, symbiotic SAP skills. Clearly, production planning and materials management would be two of those that, in combination and with some other softer skills and industry specific skills, is very popular. Business objects is the next down on that list, and quality management. So that's QM. PLM shows up again next on that list, as does HCM. And then a little farther down, showing growth of 20% in value over the last 12 months, is SAP CO and FI. Again, two of those modules that together can be a very strong combination, and you often find people with this experience in both of those, you know, in the same person. Lastly, the last three on that list, again, the 12-month list, is MDM, NetWeaver Application Server, and Web AS Application Server. So that's what's looking really good right now as far as SAP. So that's sort of the top. I think Demir, if you'd like to, you know, go through the next couple of questions, I think we'll be revisiting some of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear, you know, why the demand in NetWeaver is there with that sort of shift in strategy. I'd like to talk a little bit more about management methodology and process, because I think, firstly, it's a little less clear why this area is so hot. I mean, I think you said that it's the sort of the second fastest little cluster of skills, you know, growing there. So let's talk about that area. Why is it hot right now?
Well, you know, this is being driven largely by ERP skills, and not just SAP, but also Oracle. And also CRM is in that category, as is ITIL, you know, ITIL, and not to go get too much into ITIL, but it has been growing in value in companies. That's almost a whole another podcast, what's happening in ITIL right now. But I think and business intelligence and project management are also in that group. But I think the story here goes back to what I introduced in the discussion a few minutes ago, which has been the evolution of offshoring in this. And you can't talk about skill shortages and supply and demand gaps without talking about what global sourcing of IT skills has done to the market. It's a huge issue. It's a political issue with H-1B visas and all of that, and getting talent as cheap as you can. But that's not what I want to talk about here. What I want to talk about is, if you look at the beginning of serious offshoring, which was about 10 years ago, and a lot of companies that weren't into it were starting to dip their toe into it. It was all about low-level programming, sending a lot of low-level programming purely for productivity and cost savings. And as companies got used to doing that and got more comfortable in managing vendor relationships from afar to places like India or Russia or the Philippines or Europe. What they found in the second wave is they began outsourcing a lot of business process, you know, BPO. And that's not something necessarily you'd want to in the ideal world offshore. That's stuff that's very close to your core competencies as a business, the things that differentiates you from your competition. But in this case, don't forget what I said. A lot of companies, from the point of view of the capability maturity model, again, your ability to simply get things done and to execute as an organization, a lot of your expertise and process skills, a lot of companies were just stuck in the one or two and had no idea really how to do business process management. But they learned a lot about it by offshoring, and they've now gotten confident to take a lot of what they've learned and what they've been taught by these companies in places like India that were expert at this stuff, and now they're doing it in-house. They feel comfortable enough to say, you know, we can bring some of this in-house, and we can begin to hire permanent as well as consultants into this and do this ourselves. And that's why at this stage in sort of IT, you know, labor market and workforce management evolution, you're starting to see, not just in SAP, but in IT in general, a confidence that they can do it. And they're starting to hire full-time workers. And that's in part what SAP is surfing off of right now. The fact that companies feel more positive, well, why not make business process management a keystone of the entire SAP strategy? So it's not simply about convincing people to buy SAP over Oracle, but to convince them to look at the whole idea of how they manage their business globally and how they manage their enterprise, starting with software development and systems, and going into right into the lines of business, into functional areas like finance and accounting and HR and warehouse management and materials and marketing and everything else you've got there. And why don't you just look at this as a classroom and promote a model, an enterprise management model. And that's what SAP has done. So they're, in a sense, surfing off of this, you know, where we've come, at least in the United States, which is what we're talking about today, mainly North America. And the time is right for them to do this. SAP clearly is a global company. And on other areas outside the United States will be able to adopt this model of theirs much more quickly than a number of American corporations, I can tell you that. So what this is going to be is it's going to be a cascading of their model. I find it interesting that in talking to SAP recently about this sort of disconnect between skills availability and demand for skills and finding out what all their initiatives were, I came away with the impression that, and the truth is that a number of the initiatives that they've launched right now are not available in North America, that people in North America will have it a little worse off than the rest of the world. And I asked them why, and I think the answer I got was that these things are tested, and once they're working well, they'll take them to the United States. However, I don't know if that's really the answer that I would accept necessarily, but I will certainly accept the fact that some of these initiatives are not going to be available right now, and so there's going to be probably a little more pain in North America for SAP people looking for talent than in other parts of the world. However, I do honor the fact that SAP, between their I think they're calling it their learning on demand. It's a pay per play system, 24/7 knowledge base that's available to people who are looking to acquire skills and information. That should help their careers. There's also a talent net that's not available here, which is a resource for that they're running for locating skills as companies need them, actually finding people. It's not hiring them, but finding them. I don't think talent net is in the recruiter community, but it's in the user community. And apparently they're spending about almost $600 million on this university initiative, which is basically to put in place a lot of SAP technology and some curricula and training. In I think they're looking for more than 4,000 universities around the world. I think they've maybe been successful in about 900 so far, and some of those will be in the United States as well. I just don't see it at the moment that it's, you know, these efforts that are underway are equally being applied equally, you know, intercontinentally.
Well, on that note, quickly, David, let me ask you how you think the ASUG directory may be plugging some of those holes in North America.
We hear from people all the time saying, well, I've got the money, but I can't find the talent. I hear that constantly. We can't find the people. Now, I don't know if they're actually applying enough money, but the idea is they say they can't find the talent. Anything that will help them find the specific niche skills, whether it's an industry skill like retail, for instance, or financial services, or if they're looking for a functional area like finance or control, warehouse management, or you know, PS, or you know, any HCM, any of these, anything that can connect them, if they've got the money, if it's true, is a great thing. Hmm. You know, it can only help.
Before I turn it over to John, I'd just like to ask a question that's sort of been bugging me, and I think maybe bugging some folks out there who are trying to build their SAP careers. I mean, everyone knows that BPM is hot, but I think what's less clear to some people is what does it map onto in terms of skill? Because, you know, you think that many modules have BPM sort of as, you know, as part of the engine or the approach to it. So what would you tell people? I mean, clearly it's not a discrete product, but nor is it something that just occurs in every product, right? So, I mean, how does it map onto an actual skill that you can acquire?
Well, you've heard of service-oriented architecture, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's another very broad area that includes an awful lot of domains that are, bedrock in companies in terms of infrastructure and a lot of their bedrock application systems. And that's a popular concept, service-oriented architecture, and companies are struggling through it. But they know what it is. They can't always explain it to the business what it is. But people in IT know what it is, and a lot of money is being spent in SOA. I know that they call it ESOA, and that at SAP, and I know that's going to be shortened very, very shortly to SOA. But that's an area that it surfs off of. I mean, you can sell BPM, in tandem with SOA, and most companies go to any large vendor, say an IBM or a CSC or an Accenture or any of these companies, even HP even, they're selling SOA. They've gotten that message apart across, and they've differentiated into several product solutions. So you can sell process management with every point solution. And there are hundreds of them in SOA right now. So pick and choose. I wouldn't necessarily choose every one of them. I would choose the ones that are probably the most mature. But that's where I'd start. That's where most service or systems integrators and professional services firms are doing it right now.
Okay, excellent. John, let's turn it over to you for questions that you might have.
Great. Thanks, guys. Good discussion so far. David, I was going to ask you more about BPM stuff, but I think we covered that pretty well. So I want to ask you just some practical next steps for SAP professionals. And we're going to take a 2 to 3 year window on this and maybe take a longer view. And with the caveat that none of us can predict what's going to happen with markets that change so rapidly. But let's start with the technical side of SAP. I want to divide it into two categories, the systems admin types and the developers. So let's look at each and give us kind of a 2 to 3 year window. If you were an SAP professional on the technical side, what would be your career and skill strategy for the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, you know, in the time that we have left, which is not much, this is a quite a large discussion if I really wanted to dissect it down. But I would tell anybody who's looking over the next 2 years is that there's been this idea that specialization can hurt your career. This has come out of prior years' experience where when there was a gloomy economy, the specialists got hurt the most, and the generalists were the people that were able to most adapt to the new environment. But what's happened now is that if you look at hiring in general, companies don't even care if you're certified anymore, as long as if they're looking for somebody with a certain number of years of industry experience in their industry with their customers and they have a particular, you know, technology niche, and it could be systems, it could be application, they won't care if you're certified or not. They're looking for the whole package. We call these hybrid employees. And you find these people down at the level of $50,000, whereas for many years, they only existed up to the level of senior manager, director, and executive. But everybody is looking for an IT person, particularly in a line of business where a lot of SAP products are, who knows something about the industry, where their products are in this industry, who is buying these products, but who will likely be a market in the future. And they want IT to sit down and help them, you know, the intuition of IT to help them to get to these markets and bring them the kind of products people want. In general, I'd say specialization is where you want to go right now. So if you want to specialize in a technical area, you know, choose two or three or four of these sort of symbiotic SAP in a module or skill areas. We've mentioned a couple. And, John, you've done a great job of nailing some of these. And people can go to the expert site at Search SAP and ask specific questions, because I know a lot of what these right now, what some of the greatest combinations are. But I'd say in general, think more along the lines of what industry do I want to specialize in, because that's what people want, or what kind of products and solutions, not just the tech skill sets, but what kind of products and solutions do I want to be involved in? And then you'll find that at that point, you're going to have to come up with a number of soft skills that are particular for that, a number of hard skills. And that's when you make the decision over where you want to be as far as the technology in your tool belt, because a lot of these budgets that have moved into the lines of businesses, these application development systems, require an awful lot of business knowledge and soft skills. I mean, if you just look at, slightly off topic, but virtualization, you've got all these, you know, all these systems engineers that now, where virtualization has moved networking tasks into the domain of systems engineers. What's also moved into the domain of systems engineers is an awful lot of collaboration skills and interdisciplinary communication skills that a lot of systems engineers don't have. Well, that's an example where you have to decide that you have the personality for that job. Forget the technical part. Do you have the personality and the makeup to want to work in that area, and the interest and the passion to work in that area? And then at that point, you look at the technical skills that are the piece of that whole puzzle.
That makes a lot of sense. And when we look at the functional or business side of SAP with the functional application consultants, give us a 2 to 3 year window on that. Are they going to need to learn more of these modeling tools that are coming out around process modeling, or add more technical skills, or is it more of an industry focus, or kind of a combination of these things?
Well, I would say over the next couple of years, choose a functional business area, whether it's marketing, materials management, you know, manufacturing, choose a finance, accounting, choose HR, choose operations and logistics. Find an area that appeals to you, and when you and you can choose one, and then look at that area and find out, well, what is the play for process right now in that? I would say today process skills are more important in some areas of SAP than others. But decide whether you like marketing or HR, or logistics, or operations, or finance and accounting. You might find that it might help you to go to school, for instance, in finance and accounting, and get an accounting degree, even if it's a two-year degree, or go get some courses in finance, or in operations, or logistics, and or distribution. That's how to attack this, is to look at the functional area, and then start looking at the industry. And a lot of times you can do that at the same time. You know, you may want to work for the first or second or third largest company or most important company in a particular industry, that may appeal to you. Geography is a big part of this too. You've got to decide, you know, where you want to be. Certainly, you know, there's an awful lot of defense industry and biotech, for instance, in Washington, D.C., that you wouldn't find, you know, in Boise, Idaho. You know, so a lot of this too is you've got to look at, you know, there's a lot of logistics, an awful lot of logistics stuff out east of Los Angeles in Riverside, San Bernardino County. A lot of jobs available there, and also biotech. How would you feel about being an SAP person out in San Bernardino County? It may not appeal to you, you know, but you have to work geography into this right now. At the moment, it seems that the skills shortages are being felt the worst right now in the Northeast and in the Midwest. And I just recently saw on a job board that they had found that the number of job listings in the Northeast and the Midwest over a period of 1 month alone, which was last August, was 1,040 SAP job listings and 790 Oracle. And then I saw that in the Southwest, Western Pacific, and in the Northeast and Midwest, it was 2,140 SAP job listings, 830 Oracle. So, you know, you've got this other idea of do you want to start? For those of you who are maybe looking at starting a career in Oracle, start looking at the fact that there seems to be more demand right now, at least from the job boards, for SAP. So if you're looking at getting into this area and deciding whether you want to go sort of the Oracle route or the SAP route, again, factor that into it. You know, where is the greatest demand for jobs and skills? Oracle, I hadn't talked about Oracle, but Oracle skills have been on a pretty steady growth path. Not the kind of numbers you'd find in some of these SAP skills, but I will say that they pay very, very well. So on the point of view of strength of pay, not growth, but strength of pay, Oracle's done pretty well. But, you know, the SAP model that they're promoting and just the sheer breadth of its products gives you so much opportunity, to make choices that, you know, it's pretty compelling for a lot of people to want to look at SAP. Although, you know, as you know, SAP, there are risks in SAP's business that they're taking that I would say do not exist in the Oracle world right now. So from a point of view of risk, you have to look at, from the long-term focus, even over 3 years, you know, is it more of a risk to work in the SAP world than in Oracle? I know people that think about risk and do that kind of evaluation.
David, that's good stuff, and as usual, we always run out of time with you before all the good questions can get answered, but the only obvious solution is to have you back again down the road, so we'll look forward to that, and I'm going to turn it back to Demir to wrap our podcast up.
Excellent. Thank you, John, and thank you, David. This was most informative, and we do look forward to checking in several months from now to track new developments in this marketplace. There you have it. Plenty of ideas for getting more sizzle out of your SAP skills. Remember to check back with us for updates on SAP skills and salaries, and don't hesitate to write if you have any questions.